The views expressed on this program are not necessarily the views of Lexington Community Radio or its board of directors. The views expressed are solely those of the programmers.
You are listening to Off the Cuff. Now, here's your host, Adam Banks.
Welcome, everybody, to Off the Cuff. I am Adam Banks coming at you live from Lexington, Kentucky. Thank you for listening to the show, and thank you for tuning in to WLXU 93.9 FM. In addition to listening on the radio, you can check out our Facebook live stream at Off the Cuff with Adam Banks, or you can download the Radio Lex app on your smartphone device to listen anywhere in the entire world. You can also stream the show live from the station website at radiolex.us. I am broadcasting from the Deborah Hensley Studios here at Radio Lex on North Limestone. It is August the 24th, 2023, 4 o'clock. We are live, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. Every week on the show, I like to give a quote of the week. And last week, the quote was, "The grass is not always greener on the other side." And I don't think there's anything more true than that. Just because something is shinier and something is newer, don't make it better. And we all are naive when it comes to thinking that, if we do think that. Now, sometimes the grass is greener on the other side. Sometimes it really is. Newer is better, shinier is better. But I've learned through life, for the most part, it's not. And I feel like that with age, you start to understand that. As you get older, as we all get older as people, we understand things more. Things that we might have been naive about before, we understand as we age. And one of those things is the grass is not always greener on the other side. And it made me start thinking of all of the things that people think that's very naive thoughts. And you got to think about this, folks. We have naive thoughts as human beings, regardless of our age, regardless of how old we are. We still can be naive when it comes to certain thoughts. For instance, thinking that a man or woman who cheated on you once before won't do it again. That's a very naive thought. Of course, they're going to do it again. Once a cheater, always a cheater. If they do it, that means they have the capability of doing it again. But regardless of our age, our race, our weight, our height, we all have naive thoughts. So I started thinking about some of the most naive thoughts someone could have, regardless of who you are, your age, and whatnot. And one of those things is that thinking that a man or a woman who cheated on you once won't do it again. So here's the list of things that I come up with that I feel like are the most naive thoughts someone could have. One of those is telling someone a secret and thinking it's still going to be a secret. If you tell anybody anything, it's no longer a secret. Just because you tell somebody not to say something doesn't mean they're not going to, because here's what happens with that. They go straight to their spouse who has their ear every single day in bed, and they say, "Okay, what I'm about to tell you, I don't want you to say anything. Don't tell this, but so-and-so told me this." And then you tell one person, then they tell the next person, because they do the same thing. They say, "Don't say that I said anything, promise me you won't say anything," and then before you know it, 10 people know it, and it's no longer a secret. You're very naive if you think that a secret's going to stay a secret if you tell somebody. Another naive thought that a lot of people have is believing human resources will protect your interest over a company's interest. HR is not your friend. HR is the company's friend. They are there for the company first. That is their main focus. Not you, the company. And a lot of us, we like to confide in HR. We like to go and talk to HR if something's going wrong. But the truth of the matter is, and the fact of the matter is that HR is not on your side. They're automatically going to be on the side of the company, and they're going to try to stay on the side of the company. So it's a naive thought if you think that. Another naive thought is thinking you need to meet the requirements of a certain job before applying to that job. Don't not apply to a job just because you don't have all of the listed requirements it's wanting for the job. I can't tell you how many jobs that I have applied for in the past that I didn't meet the minimum qualifications, but still did well in the process of being hired, because a lot of the times they just put that stuff out there hoping to attract better candidates. But don't let that steer you away of not applying for a job just because you don't meet those minimum requirements. That's a very naive thought. Another naive thought is thinking that you could change someone that you're in a relationship with. You're not going to be able to do that. The only way somebody can become a healthier person and a better person is if they want to be a better person. Nobody else can make them do that. Thinking you're getting the better version of someone that treated somebody else poorly is another naive thought. If they treated such and such poorly, they're probably eventually going to show their true colors. Just give them time. Give somebody time to show you who they really are. Another naive thought that a lot of people have is thinking that you're going to be able to retire one day. And I'm talking to all of you millennials out there. Retirement, we just assume that we're going to be able to retire at the age of 63, 65, 67, 70 even. Well, with the way the economy is going and the way, especially here in the Commonwealth of Kentucky, the way our retirement system is, it's going to be very hard to retire. Our pension is completely shattered. This may be the worst state in the union to work in. So all us millennials out there thinking you're going to retire at the age of 65, 70, probably ain't going to happen. That's a very naive thought these days. Thinking that someone who likes your Instagram story likes you more than a friend. Stop. Just because somebody likes your post on social media doesn't mean they're attracted to you. A lot of the times the reason people like your Instagram stories and like your Instagram post is because they're wanting you to like their stuff. The more stuff you like of other people, the more likely they're going to like your stuff when it pops up on their feed. It's not because they have a thing for you if you catch them liking your stories or liking your post. That's a very naive thought. Another naive thought that a lot of people have is thinking that it could never happen to you. We always think when major events happen and major travesties happen that it could never happen to us because it's so far from the spectrum of reality from happening. But we all know that anything could happen to anybody at any given moment. You could get a disease. You could get cancer. You could lose a limb. You could lose your job. You could lose your wife, your husband, your children. Anything in this world could happen to anybody. Nobody is exempt from anything in this world. Thinking people will be good to you just because you're a good person is a very naive thought. That's not the case, unfortunately. People will still treat you like crap, even if you're really good to them. Another naive thought that a lot of people have is thinking that love in a relationship is 50-50. It's absolutely not. There's always somebody that loves a little bit more than the other person. And you might be thinking, no, that's just the way it is. And it might be a healthy balance of love, but somebody just loves a little bit more in the relationship. It could be the man, it could be the woman. Another naive thought that a lot of people have is thinking people will go above and beyond for you just because you did the same for them. You'll learn this throughout life, that you could bend over backwards for people, folks, and they're still not going to help you out regardless of what you do for them. Another naive thought that a lot of people have is thinking that your coworkers are your friends. They're not. They're just there to collect a paycheck just like you are. You may get the facade and you might get that illusion that they're your friend because you're with them 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. But in reality, the chances are that you're really a friend to that person or they're really a friend to you. It's far-fetched. Can you really trust that person? Would you confide in that person? Would that person be there when you needed them? Would they encourage you and pick you up and help you out if it was outside of work? A lot of coworkers wouldn't. So don't just assume that just because you work with somebody and they're your coworker, that they're your friend. Another naive thought that a lot of people have is believing the older you get, the more mature a person gets. I know a lot of people who are my age that are very immature. I know a lot of 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 16-year-olds that are very mature. It doesn't really matter the age. Maturity is situational, and it depends on the person, really. It depends on the person and who they are, if they're going to be mature or not. So many factors play into that. Another naive thought is not studying and thinking God will just help you pass the exam. Listen, I'm a big believer in prayer, and I do think that prayer works and God does answer prayers. But just because you prayed to the good Lord above to make something happen for you and you put no effort behind it doesn't automatically mean it's going to happen. Don't you know, folks? Don't you know that when you pray for things, I'm sure you have, and they've went unanswered, right? What makes you think that a test is any different? It's not. It's going to take why do you think the omnipotent God the Father in heaven is going to help you with a math quiz with all the other things going on in the world? I mean, he could, but don't just assume that everything's going to be taken care of just because you prayed for it. That's not the case. And finally, another naive thought that a lot of people have is thinking designer brands make you look better, make you look cooler. It does not. One of my favorite styles to portray is plain white, as plain t-shirts, plain, solid colored t-shirts with no brand, nothing on the shirt, nothing on the jeans, nothing on the shoes. I like plain because designer means nothing. It might make you feel a certain way, but nobody is paying attention to the designer that you have. There's so many fake designer purses and shirts and jeans out there. You can't tell the difference anyway. You can't tell the difference between a $5,000 t-shirt and a $2 t-shirt. You just can't. So quit thinking that those designer clothes make you look better when you can pull off the same look by going to Kohl's, going to JCPenney's even. So it's a facade to think that going to Gucci or Versace is going to make you look cooler, make you look more successful, because it won't. It's very naive, and a lot of those thoughts are naive. So that is the list, folks, of some of the most naive thoughts that someone could have. We got a great show ahead of you today, folks. Stick with us. You are listening to Off the Cuff with Adam Banks, when we will be right back after these words.
I'm going back to Massachusetts. Something's telling me I must go home.
Welcome back, everybody, to Off the Cuff. Adam Banks here with you. Over the last couple of weeks, we have had a reoccurring segment on the show where I have been giving the audience the best unofficial state songs for each state in the country. And so far, we have covered 20 states, and we have went in alphabetical order, starting with Alabama. Now, we have done a whole segment on the show before where I have talked about the best official state songs in the world or in the country, but what I am doing with this reoccurring segment is I am talking about the best song written for that particular state. And if it is considered the state song, it's not put on this list. These are the best unofficial state songs for each state in the country. And we've done our first 20 in alphabetical order. So it's now time to do our next 10, because we have been doing 10 a week. We last left off with Massachusetts, so that's the song that you're hearing now. I feel like the best song written for Massachusetts was the song called Massachusetts by the Bee Gees. This was sung by a British band, and they released this song in 1967. It's about a man who is longing to return home to his state of Massachusetts. He remembers the beautiful scenery, the happy times he had there, and all the nostalgic feels. It's a really great song, and especially if you are from the state of Massachusetts. But next on the list, folks, is Michigan. And the song that I feel like is the best unofficial song for Michigan is a song by the Accidentals called Michigan and Again.
We lay down in the grass in a nest of sleeping bags.
This is a lovely, heartfelt tune dedicated to the natural beauty of the state of Michigan.
The water 45 degrees. We wade out to the...
The singer talks about when she comes home to Michigan. Lake Michigan is one of the first places that she goes to, and she finds it difficult to leave her home every time she has to, and she loves going back to visit. It's a beautiful song about the state. I'm not a big fan of the state of Michigan, but I am a fan of this song.
Canada's daughter, cradled in a pleasant moon grin. Michigan and again and again and again and again.
Michigan again and again. All right, next on the list is the state of Minnesota. And the song that I'm going to be playing for Minnesota is by Atmosphere. It's called Say Shh. It's a hidden track on this band Atmosphere's 2003 album. It's a hip-hop duo singing this song, and both of these members of this hip-hop duo are from the state of Minneapolis. In the song, the singers talk about their upbringing in the state.
I wanted to make a song about where I'm from, you know? Big up my hometown, my territory, my state, but I couldn't figure out much to brag about.
He talks about while he loves New York and California, nothing quite compares to the state of Minnesota. He talks about the state's beauty, but he doesn't shy away from the negatives as well. He talks about, for instance, there being too many mosquitoes in the state of Minnesota.
Follow the dream doesn't mean leave the love. Roam if you must, but come home when you've seen enough. I love New York and Cali, but I ain't moving. Too overpopulated, saturated with humans. And I'm not big on rappers, actors, or models. If I had to dip, I'd probably skip to Chicago. None of this, it's a diss.
Okay, coming up next on the list is a song by, you probably have heard of him, Afro Man. And Afro Man is a rapper, and he is singing about the state of Mississippi.
Take me back home to Mississippi.
Afro Man was born in Los Angeles, but he spent some time in his early life in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And this rap song is an homage to the good times that he had in the state. He raps about getting in trouble and chasing girls. He expresses a longing for the state and mentions Hattiesburg, for instance, in the lyrics. Afro Man released Mississippi on his 2000 album, Because I Got High. This album would become his most famous and feature and his best-selling song. You gotta love Afro Man and all the songs that he puts out anyway. But next, folks, on the list is the state of Missouri. And this is a country song by Michael Tyler. It's called Songs About Missouri. Talks a bit again about the beauty of the state and how it's inferior to all the other places that he has visited.
If they could have seen it through my eyes, there'd be more songs about Missouri, green-eyed girls and Highway 32, laughing out loud.
All right, next on the list, folks, is the state of Montana. And the song selected for what I feel like is the best unofficial state song for the state of Montana is a song by Hank Williams Jr. It's called The Montana Song. And in this song, Hank Williams Jr. talks about how he will spend the winter months in Montana. Since he is from the South, the bitter cold Montana winters will bring a pretty rough stay for him. He also recently lost someone he cared about, so he hopes to find someone he loves in the state. Hank Williams Jr. sets a good plan with this song. Winters in Montana are beautiful. He even mentions the deep snow and how he loves the colder months. He says Montana is his go-to place, and it's his escape, and it's a wonderful place to go to. We all, as human beings, need an escape. We need a place to go to. And Montana is Hank Williams Jr.'s spot. Folks, the next state on the list is the state of Nebraska, and the song chosen for Nebraska is what I feel like is the best unofficial state song. It's called Nebraska Sunrise by Buddy Knox, and Buddy Knox was born in a tiny farming town in Happy, Texas. But he wrote an entire song about the state of Nebraska, which I find more interesting than anything else. I feel like that when a singer writes about a state that they're not from, there's got to be something to it. There's got to be something about that state, because it was big enough, it had a big enough impact on the artist to write a whole song about it. Like, I love Kentucky. So if I were to write a song about any state, it would probably be about Kentucky. Now, I don't know if there is another state that I love as well as Kentucky, but there's a lot of artists that write songs about other states that they're not from, because you got to think about it. A lot of these artists are traveling all over the world on tour with their music, so they have had the opportunity to see a ton of other places in these United States. All right, the next state on the list that we're going to talk about is the state of Nevada. And the song chosen for this state for the best unofficial state song, it's called Nighttime in Nevada by Adrian Brannon.
When it's nighttime in Nevada.
Now, a lot of people might be thinking, Adam, why didn't you play a song like Waking Up in Vegas by Katy Perry? Well, because that's talking about a specific city, not really a state. We all know Las Vegas is in Nevada, and there's been a ton of songs written about Las Vegas, but this segment is talking about the best unofficial state songs, not city songs. So this is very appropriate to play for the best state song for Nevada. Now, I should already go ahead and tell you folks, eventually, somewhere down the line, I'm going to do a segment where I talk about the best city songs in the United States. The best songs sung about different cities. But right now, we're talking about the best state songs. And Nighttime in Nevada by Adrian Brannon is definitely on the list for the state of Nevada. All right, next on the list, folks, is the state of New Hampshire. And this song is called New Hampshire by Matt Pond, PA. It's got 333,000 plays on Spotify. Matt Pond of Matt Pond, PA grew up in New Hampshire, and he remembers his days in the state with fondness. He says, we were always looking for something to do and kind of bored, but that was probably the most fun I'd ever had. Looking for something to do, looking for change, begging your parents for money, swimming in rivers, and setting things on fire.
And lost before it's let out.
As kids, we're always bored. And then when you look back on your childhood as an adult, you think about how those times of boredom were some of your best and funnest times that you've ever had. Because looking for something to do can sometimes be the best part, because you end up getting into something totally creative, totally off the top of your head, and it ends up being the best time that you've had. And that's what this song talks about. And then finally, folks, the last song that we're going to play for the last state that we're going to cover for this week, because we've already covered our next 10, the state of New Jersey. And the song that we're going to play, which I feel like is the best song written about the state, is, it's called Jersey Boy by Eddie Rabbit. It's a 1990 country song, And the singer is talking about growing up in the state of New Jersey. He says his parents are Irish immigrants who settled down in the state, and he has nothing but fond memories.
I still can smell those autumn leaves burning in my old backyard.
And that, folks, is the best unofficial state songs for each state in the country, at least our latest 10. So we have covered 30 states so far. And next week, we will cover our next 10 because we've got 50 states in total. Do you remember when, I don't know if this was just my class, but do you remember when you were a kid that there was some type of situation to where we, nobody knew really how many states we had. Some people said 52. Some people said 54. Where did that come from? A lot of people were like, oh, Puerto Rico's a state. Well, it confused me for the longest time. But no, we only have 50 states in this country. It's like my whole life I grew up thinking there was only 9 planets, and then NASA comes out and says, no, there's 10. Or they'll be like, you know, you thought Pluto was a planet your entire life. Not really. It's actually a star, not a planet. Can't be changing things you've been teaching the entire time of life. But that, folks, is the best unofficial state songs for each state in the country, at least our latest 10. And we will cover the next 10 next week on the show. But folks, stick with us. We do have lots more Off the Cuff with Adam Banks coming at you live after these words. We will be right back.
You got me begging you for mercy. Why won't you release me? I said, believe me. Now you think that I...
Welcome back, everybody, to Off the Cuff. Adam Banks here with you. Wade says on the show thread, he says, you're talking to me. And he sent that during the first segment of the show. I'm not talking to you, Wade. You were not on my mind when I was coming up with this topic. A lot of listeners out there probably think a lot of the times that when I'm talking, that I am talking to you. But you know what you call that, folks? You call that good radio, because that means that I'm connecting with you. So if you think that I'm talking about you, I'm not. I'm talking to the vast amount of people listening in the audience. Folks, it is August the 24th, slap dab in the middle of summertime. And one of the reoccurring themes that we have been having for the summer is deep dives into iconic summer blockbuster. And I have decided to do this reoccurring segment every week until the summer ends. Because last summer, we did a little theme segment where we talked about the best one-hit wonders of each decade. Well, for this summer, I've decided for our reoccurring theme to be deep dives into iconic summer blockbusters. And what that means is I take a summer blockbuster from the past, and we do a deep dive into that movie, talking about the cast, the plot, the facts, etc. The first feature that we covered was Jaws. And last week on the show, our second feature was The Dark Knight. So this week on the show, our third feature of our deep dive into iconic summer blockbusters is The Sixth Sense. And this movie was released on August the 6th, 1999. And The Sixth Sense is a 1999 American psychological thriller film written and directed by M. Night Shyamalan. It stars Bruce Willis as a child psychologist whose patient, Haley Joel Osment, claims he can see and talk to the dead. It stars Bruce Willis, Haley Joel Osment, and Toni Collette. The screenplay for this movie was sold on the first day it was put up for sale by the producer Barry Mendel. This movie is one of the scariest movies of our time. Now, a lot of people might hear that and laugh, but you got to think, folks. In 1999, there was not a movie like The Sixth Sense. The swerve at the end of the movie is what had everybody on the edge of their seat. They couldn't believe it. And what I mean by the swerve at the end, spoiler alert, is Bruce Willis, who is talking to the kid who can see dead people in the movie, you find out that Bruce Willis the entire time is dead. And you don't realize that until the end of the movie. And it took everybody by surprise, and it was awesome. The Sixth Sense was the second highest grossing film in 1999, right behind Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, taking about $293 million in the U.S. and $379 million in other markets. This movie captivated a large enough audience to become the highest grossing movie of 1999 here in America. It was nominated for 6 Academy Awards, which is rare for a horror movie. The Sixth Sense was a huge success. Up until 2017, it is the highest grossing horror film of all time. It also sold more DVDs and VHS tapes than any other movie in the year 2000. So there's something behind that. If you've not seen The Sixth Sense, you need to go and watch it. Now, I don't even consider this a spoiler segment because The Sixth Sense came out 24 years ago. It's been a while. If you haven't watched it by now, you're probably not going to, but I recommend you go and watch it. So let's do a deep dive into The Sixth Sense with some Sixth Sense facts. The Sixth Sense opened, like I said, on August the 6th, 1999, which was the same day as the director of the film's birthday, M. Night Shyamalan. The Sixth Sense was one of only 5 horror movies to be nominated for Best Picture in the Oscar category. The other movies were Jaws, The Exorcist, Silence of the Lambs, and Black Swan. It was also the only one of these movies that did not win an Academy Award. The film was nominated for 6 Academy Awards in total, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Original Screenplay for M. Night Shyamalan, Best Supporting Actor for Haley Joel Osment, and Best Supporting Actress for Toni Collette. The Sixth Sense has the most memorable quote from any horror movie of the 90s. I wonder if you guys can take a guess of what that is. It's, "I see dead people." If you don't, take a listen.
"I see dead people."
"In your dreams? While you're awake? Dead people, like, in graves and coffins?
Walking around like regular people. They don't see each other. They only see what they want to see. They don't know they're dead."
Oh. Insane. And that was just a little clip from the movie. That is the clip where Haley Joel Osment, the boy, tells his psychiatrist the issue that he's been having, and that issue is he sees dead people. He has that gift to see dead people. Once they die, he sees them in human form. And he shared that with his psychiatrist, Bruce Willis, who at the end you find out is actually dead as well in real life. And that's the reason Haley Joel Osment, the actor in the movie, was able to see him, because he was dead. But everybody else in the movie who you thought was seeing him really wasn't. Let's see, some more facts. The changes of temperature from normal to so cold that you can see the character's breath can be explained by the fact that it only gets cold when a ghost is upset. So when you see people's breaths in the movie, like where it's so cold, that's because a ghost is upset. Toni Collette, who played Lynn Sear and received a Best Supporting Actress nomination for her role in this movie, says she was so drawn in by the film's emotional authenticity that she didn't even realize it was a horror movie until after it was released. And Toni Collette did such a fabulous job playing the role as the mom in this movie. No wonder she was nominated for an Oscar for her role, because she did so well. But it's funny to think that she thought this movie was a kind of a love story or a emotional story. She didn't think it was a horror story. Actor Donnie Wahlberg, who is the guy who his character was right at the beginning of the movie, the first person that Bruce Willis sees that ends up shooting Bruce Willis, and we come to find out at the end, him getting shot is actually what killed him. That actor was played by Donnie Wahlberg, or that character was played by Donnie Wahlberg, and Donnie Wahlberg lost 43 pounds for his role, changing his appearance so much that the director, M. Night Shyamalan, didn't even recognize it was him on the very first day of filming. Bruce Willis is a left-hander, but had to learn how to write with his right hand so the viewers wouldn't notice that he wasn't wearing his wedding ring on his left hand anymore. Because remember, in the movie, Bruce Willis is supposed to be dead. We don't find that out till the end, but you couldn't make him have a wedding ring on in the movie if he's dead. It would make no sense. Dead people don't wear wedding rings. As he does in all of his movies, M. Night Shyamalan has a cameo. He stars as Dr. Hill, and he's the doctor who examines Cole, Haley Joel Osment's character, after an alleged accident at a birthday party. M. Night Shyamalan, who comes from a family of doctors, was so dissatisfied with his performance that he almost cut that part out of the movie. He wasn't a fan of his performance. At one point in the film, we hear a voice on a tape speaking in Spanish during Vincent's session. The voice is saying, "Please, I don't want to die, Lord. Save me, save me." And we don't really know what it says in the movie when we're watching it because they don't give us subtitles. Toni Collette says that some weird things started occurring to her during filming. She said that she was staying in a hotel room and she started meditating a lot. And she would wake up all the time in the middle of the night, roll over, look at her clock, and it would always be a repeated number like 111, 333, 444. And she said it really spooked her. The color red is very prominent in this movie. M. Night Shyamalan made ample use of the color red throughout the film. In scenes that proceed when a dead person becomes close by, something red will appear, like a red ball, a red sweater, a red doorknob, etc. So if you see anything red in the movie, it's because that means a dead body is around, or a dead person is around. The term the sixth sense originated in the 1800s to describe paranormal sensations that could not be explained throughout the five senses. And despite the film's roaring success, the Disney executive who bought the script, yes, this is a Disney movie, David Vogel, was fired because he did not consult his superiors before buying the script. I bet the person who fired him felt like an idiot because the movie was such a success. But he probably really didn't feel like an idiot because people in Hollywood have such big egos, he didn't even give it another thought. And here's another fun fact about The Sixth Sense. It's similar. This whole plot is similar to an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark in an old TV show on Nickelodeon from 1994. The episode is called The Tale of the Dream Girl. And it's basically the same storyline as The Sixth Sense. And this movie came out this TV show was aired 5 years before The Sixth Sense ever aired. And it's pretty much the same plot as The Sixth Sense. And then finally, the last fun fact for this movie is Michael Cera auditioned to play the little boy in The Sixth Sense. Michael Cera, who was 10 years old at the time, remembered getting the tone of the scene all wrong in his audition. Instead of crying like Haley Joel Osment did in the film, he played the scene as upbeat. And before Osment got the part, Liam Aiken was offered the role, but turned it down. So Haley Joel Osment didn't even get offered the role at first. It was given to Liam Aiken, and he turned it down. Man, I bet he feels like an idiot, because who is Liam Aiken? Nobody knows who that is, but everybody knows who the little boy from The Sixth Sense is. You might not know his name, but you know his face, and you could say, yeah, that little boy was in The Sixth Sense. And The Sixth Sense was a scary, scary movie. I mean, it freaked me out, especially if you've never seen it, and especially if you're watching it in a dark room. It will freak you out. It will terrify you. Let me play a scene from this movie. This is at the end of the movie, and this is with the little boy and his mom, and they're stuck in a traffic jam because there was a bad accident, and a lady on a bicycle got killed. And of course, like I said, the little boy in the movie can see dead people. And he never did tell anybody this secret except his psychiatrist, Bruce Willis, because he didn't want people to think he was crazy. Because think about it, if I told you I saw dead people, what would you think? You would think I was crazy. So, a lot of people probably would have thought he was crazy, so he didn't want people to know that he was crazy. So, take a listen to this scene in The Sixth Sense, where finally the little boy tells his mom about his secret as they're sitting in traffic due to this accident. Take a listen.
You know the accident up there?
Yeah.
Someone got hurt.
They did?
A lady. She died.
Oh my God, but you can see her?
Yes.
Where is she?
Standing next to my window.
Standing next to my window, and then it pans over to him, and you see the woman all bloodied, wearing a bicycle helmet, literally standing next to his window. And it was scenes like that in the movie that freaked you out. There was no music to make you jump. There was nothing like that. It was authentic. It was scary. It was freaky. And folks, it was awesome. And it was a summer blockbuster. You gotta love a good horror movie for a summer blockbuster. There's nothing like it. But that wraps up pretty much our third summer blockbuster feature. I hope you'd enjoyed that. But folks, we are going to take Off the Cuff's Song of the Week break. And the song we're going to be playing is Running on Sunshine by Jesus Jackson. Enjoy the song. We'll be back.
Girl, you got me tripping on sunshine.
And there ain't no clouds in my sky.
Chad says on the show thread, thanks for ruining the 6 cents for me, Banks. Well, Chad, you're about 24 years too late of watching that movie. Nelly says, I don't hear the music on the show thread. Well, Nelly, the reason, and I should explain this to other people listening to the show, if you're listening to the show via the Facebook Live app, you're not getting the full show. The audio doesn't go across the Facebook Live like it does the radio. For instance, music is not going to come across the Facebook Live because if I play any song on Facebook Live, it's going to kick me off. If you are listening to the Facebook Live, you're not going to hear any of the clips that I play, any of the songs, any of the, like, for instance, those 6 cents clips that I played. If you were listening via the Facebook Live app, you wasn't going to hear any of that. To hear the full broadcast in its entirety, I always recommend people listen through the website, listen through the app, listen on the radio, because Facebook Live doesn't give it justice. But folks, we still have one more segment to go. Stick with us. We will be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to Off the Cuff. Adam Banks here with you. Last segment of the hour. All right, folks, it is now time for Off the Cuff to reveal its quote of the week. And this week's quote comes from a man named Valdemir John Ondrzak, better known as his stage name in the band Five for Fighting. And this quote of the week is a lyric from his song. And the quote of the week is this: nothing lasts forever, no matter how it feels today. Nothing lasts forever, no matter how it feels today. And I like that quote, folks, because it's true. No matter how it feels today, no matter how good it feels, no matter how bad it feels, nothing lasts forever. And we might think that something is going to last forever. We might be in a situation, a really happy time in our lives. We're really just thriving on all cylinders. Well, just know that that specific moment, that specific career, that specific situation is not going to last forever. It can't, because nothing lasts forever. People die. People lose their jobs. Situations change. Life gets in the way, and it changes everything, good or bad. Just like if you're going through something bad and you think that you're stuck in that situation, it's never going to get any better. You don't know that. Most likely, I'm telling you, it will change because nothing lasts forever, good or bad. But really, this hits home with me when it comes to talking about things good in our life. A lot of the times we think that just because we have it good, that that's going to last forever. Nothing lasts forever. Everybody has a peak. Everybody peaks out in their life. And then it's over. And you move on to the next thing, good or bad. But take that quote, looking at it, good and bad. Nothing lasts forever, no matter how it feels today. And that, folks, is Off the Cuff's song, or that, folks, is Off the Cuff's quote of the week. All right, folks, that pretty much wraps up another episode of Off the Cuff. If you liked what you heard today, you'll probably like our previous episodes. We post all radio broadcasts to podcasts. They can be found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Just type in Off the Cuff with Adam Banks. You can follow the show on social media at The Adam Banks, or I'm sorry, at Off the Cuff with Adam Banks. You can follow me, the host, on social media at The Adam Banks. We release new episodes every Thursday from 4 to 5 right here on WLXU 93.9 FM, which means we will be back same time, same place next week at 4 o'clock. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Adam Banks, and this is Off the Cuff. I'll catch you down the road. God, that you never